I don't always understand. I think sometimes people, you know, well, Pastor, do you know exactly why God's doing what he's doing and why things are working out exactly the way they're working out? I believe most people probably want a pastor to have all the answers. And that would be wonderful if I actually did have all the answers. But you know, there was a lot greater men in the Bible than me that didn't have all the answers. They didn't know exactly what God was trying to do at the time for them and their lives. And I don't know always 100% know exactly what God's trying to do in my life, but I do know that he wants to draw me closer to him. And he wants me to be more like him. And he wants me to understand more and remember. Of course, we're looking at a communion service. And that's really what a communion service is all about, is a memorial, a memory, a remembering of what Christ has done for us. And you think about Abraham taking his son up to the mountain and laying him down, that song says, on his deathbed. His heart raced as he drew the knife to strike him. Can you imagine God literally telling you to take your son? And he did. He was told to take his son up to the mountain and offer his son as a sacrifice. You say, why in the world would God do that? That this doesn't make any sense, you know? And would God have really went through with it? And I love that, you know, we think about Jehovah Jireh, I believe it is, and it says where the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Abraham tells Isaac, and I don't know, Abraham was still willing to sacrifice his son, but somewhere in the back of his mind, he must have known that God was going to provide himself a lamb. And maybe he didn't even know what he said when he said that. Maybe he just thought for sure Isaac was the lamb, and he probably did. But he was willing by faith to follow the Lord. And I want to encourage you here this morning with a message entitled, Willing to Trust God. And really, the question is are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to trust God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to see verse 12. And this is where it really is for us as Christians. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? I guess, you know, we could respond to the events of the last 6 months in a multitude of different ways. The question is how will we respond? How will we respond to what God is doing in our lives? Verse 12 says this, for if there be first a what? A willing mind. I've used these verses a lot, and we're not going to dwell a lot on these verses here this morning. We're going to be jumping around a lot of different places here this morning in some wonderful, wonderful portions of Scripture. The Bible says, if there first be a willing mind. You know what I found out about people a lot of times, Christians, and just people in general? They're not willing to do a lot of things. They're not willing to attempt great things for God. They're not willing to be, as we talked about last Sunday, to be stretched for the Lord. They don't want to be stretched. They want to be comfortable. They want to be right in the comforts of their home. They want to have everything that they could possibly have. But here's the crazy part about that. We want to have everything we could possibly have here on this earth, but we also want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear that without God stretching us at all. And without us being willing to do something that takes us out of our comfort zones. I realized this morning coming into a church, we've had Sunday school teachers. We've had we have piano playing today. We've had special music. There's been a lot of people this morning that at some point in time, and even today, this morning, that have been taken out of their comfort zones. They had to be willing to be taken out of their comfort zone, to stand in front of a classroom of children. That's taking you out of your comfort zone. To stand in front of a church, in a sanctuary, in a church, in front of people is taking me out of my comfort zone. I'd rather hide in the back of the room and watch a ball game. Honestly, at times, that's my flesh, right? You say, well, you don't want to preach. Yeah, I want to preach. I do. God's called me to preach, and I'm grateful for that. But there are times, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd rather go do something else. I'd rather be somewhere else, or I'd rather do something else. And you say, well, that sounds awful coming from a pastor. That's coming from my flesh, okay? Because my flesh sometimes doesn't want to be the one who has to stand up and preach on certain subjects that hurt people's feelings, but it doesn't matter if it hurts their feelings. It doesn't matter if it steps on their toes, if it's from God. So I have to realize that and understand that God's trying to use me as a tool, but I need to be willing. So I remember some of the sacrifice and being willing. I remember, you know, having to do in speech class and those kind of things, getting up and do speeches and my knees knocking and the room spinning and everything else. And But there had to be a willing mind and a willing heart and a willing person to be able to do those things. And then God begins to use us in a great way. But unfortunately today we see a lot of times there's Christians who are not willing. They're not willing to step out of their comfort zone. I have to admit, I never really have quite understood that. I usually have always, and you say, well, you're just a follower. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could look at it that way. But I've always, in the churches I've been in, if my pastors asked me to do something that I didn't believe was wrong or was unbiblical, I did it. I didn't question him. I didn't say, you know, so that's not, you don't know what you really believe. You just did what your pastor said. No, I followed authority. You know how I learn how what I believe is by following authority. That's one of the ways I learn that, and by following the authority of the Word of God. And if the pastors ask me to do a certain thing, then I just do it. If I learned at a young age about tithing, and I learned at a young age about faith promise missions, and I don't question those things today. And I live at peace in my life. We're able to write a check every week to the church. And that's awesome. I mean, not everybody gets paid every week, so I do. It's pretty neat. I get to write a check every week to Southside Baptist Church. It's actually to the Lord. But a check every week to Faith Promise Missions and to tithe, to give to the church. I get to do that. That is a privilege. But you know, when you start that, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to say, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. And I'm going to give God what belongs to him first. But you know, there's a lot of times there's a lot of Christians that aren't willing to do that. Well, God wants me to teach a Sunday school class. I'm not willing to teach that Sunday school class, so I'm not going to step out of my comfort zone. God wants me to drive the church van. It's going to take a lot of time. And you know, those people they're not on time. They're not ready when you need them to be ready. And things are in a hurry. I don't have the patience for that, Lord. And the Lord says, I just want you to be willing. I want you to be willing. It's amazing what God will do with somebody who has a willing, the Bible says, mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I remember just getting into the ministry, and my wife has went through this as well, getting into the ministry, especially as a pastor. I remember going around to the preacher's fellowships, and I'd look around, and the human part of me, can I just be honest with you this morning? The human part of me would look down at my suit, and I'd look at somebody else's suit, and I'd say, man, they got a nicer suit than I do. You say, oh, that's crazy. That's human. I'd look over at somebody else and I'd say, man, they've been preaching for a long time. I've not really been preaching that long. I'm not really that, I mean, God really wants to use me. I mean, I don't even have any, I barely have a whole lot of education and God wants to use me. And, you know, I remember one time specifically, I won't pick on her too much, but I remember one time specifically, a couple ladies from a couple of the other churches came over and they were dressed really nice. They were just dressed real nice. I remember what they come over for. They wanted to say hi or something, or they were doing something specific or inviting her to something. And she had her old work duds on. I mean, she had a skirt on, but it was an old torn up, I think it was an old torn up, jean skirt, you know, and just an old t-shirt. She was working around the house and here comes these ladies and they're dressed up real nice. And she kind of felt bad, to be honest with you. She felt bad that they saw her that way. You ever felt like that? All right. She felt kind of bad that they saw her that way. And, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, the flesh will say, you're not much and you're no good. And God can't use you. And we don't live up to the standards of other people. And you're not as good as them. Oh, we've had a lot of criticism. We've got criticism from our church. We get, believe it or not, this church gets a lot of criticism because we have a fellowship after our morning services. And we don't have an evening service. We have a 2 o'clock service. And people say, is that a cult or something? What's the matter with you people? Something wrong. Your pastor doesn't always wear a tie in the pulpit on Sunday night or on Wednesday night. Hey, most of the time now I do, but there's times where I haven't. Is that wrong? Some people think it might be. But you know what? The Bible says all God wants is a willing mind. He wants somebody who's willing. God, if you want me to wear a tie on Wednesday nights, then I'll wear a tie on Wednesday nights. If you want me to wear a suit and tie on Wednesday nights, then I'll wear a suit and tie on Wednesday nights. If you don't want me to do that, then I'll not do it. God just wants a willing mind. He wants a willing heart. He wants a person who's willing to do what he wants them to do. And you know what's amazing about that? That's what I love about independent Baptist churches or independent. The fact that it's independent, We do what God wants us to do. And we let other churches do what God wants them to do. It's not our place to judge them for what they do, and it's not their place to judge us for what we do. We need to do what God, we need to be in the Spirit doing what God wants us to do. But we need to be willing to do that. So if God says, step out of your comfort zone, then guess what? Step out of your comfort zone. Trying to do, pastor a church and trying to do evangelism at the same time is not my comfort zone. I promise you. I don't want to do both. But if God says do both, then we need to be willing to do both, at least for the time being, and see what God does. You say, well, that's stretching you too far, too thin. If he told us to do it, I promise you, he will provide. And that's just one illustration, and it's fresh in our minds. So I just want you to think that way. I want you to see that God just wants us to be willing. If I got to step out of my comfort zone and wear something that I wouldn't normally wear or do something that I wouldn't normally do, if God's asking me to do it or if leadership is asking me to do it, then I just need to be willing to do whatever it is that God would want me to do so I can be used for the glory of God. We're talking about spiritual growth in our Sunday school services. We need to grow. Some of that growth, you say, well, I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see, hey, where do you see that we have to have a Sunday morning service, a Wednesday or Sunday night service, and a Wednesday service in the Bible? Have you found it? The Bible says they went daily breaking bread in one another's houses. We don't do that. In fact, they wash feet. We wouldn't dream of doing that. Even though that's what the Bible says to do. Jesus says, if I not wash your feet, you know, you basically can't come into the kingdom of God. And Peter says, well, wash my whole body then, Lord. That takes us out of our comfort zone. Now, we're not going to have a feet washing service next week. But I want you to think about those things. God just wants us to be willing. Would we do it if God said to do it? That would be too weird. I don't know. If God says to do it, we need to listen. God says to follow his plan, and we're supposed to follow his plan. He wants a willing mind. I want you to consider this. Will we trust God or willing to trust God? Are you willing to trust God, number one, with your future? With your future. Turn to John chapter 14. I'm not going to give you any verses that you don't know. I'm going to give you verses and stories that you know, but we're going to look at a different story for every one of these portions of Scripture. John chapter 14, some of my favorite verses in the world, in the Bible, that I memorized these verses at a young age. There's a few of them. Sometimes I kind of twist some words around a little bit when I still try to quote it. But John chapter 14, I want to ask you specifically, not somebody else, not the person you're sitting beside, not your wife, not your husband, not your children. Are you willing to trust God with your future? Now, I'm talking about a specific part of our future, and I'm talking about the future part of our future. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect of our future. I'm not talking about this, not talking about what God's going to do with us while we're here on this earth. I'm talking about eternity. Okay? We'll talk about the other aspect of it here in just a little bit. Are you willing to trust God with your future? Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's people all over this world that are on all kinds of medicines because they're worried to death. They're worry warts, we call them. They're worried to death about everything. The Bible says, and God says himself, this isn't Dr. Phil, this isn't some other doctor out there. The Bible says, God says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Most people, if you get them to the point where you can grill them just a little bit, you ask them if they believe in God, they will tell you yes. And I believe there's something within every person, even people that call themselves atheists and agnostics and blah, blah, blah. There's something within them that knows there's something out there. It's bigger than them. Whether it's God and they want to accept it's God, if they want to believe it's their coffee cup or whatever it is, they know there's something bigger than them. And I honestly, some people that doubt that God's real, I think the coffee cup probably is bigger than them, okay? but that was just a little side note. Something that God puts within us to say there's something, someone out there, someone had to create all this. In my Father's house, he says, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God says, where I'm at, you can come and be with me also. That's what I'm doing. I'm preparing a place for you, a futuristic place. Everybody wants to talk about the future, you know. Hey, is it someday our car's going to fly? You know, are we just going to be able to say, beam me up, Scotty, and we'll be at work? You know, what does the future hold? Everybody wants to think futuristic. In the future, we're not going to need, you know, computers and all those kind of things. It's just going to be there or something. I don't know. But people are worried about the future. Well, I'm not talking about the future of this life. I'm talking about the future of eternity. And Jesus is talking about the future of eternity. You may not have a mansion here on this earth. In fact, you may live in a small cottage, and we need to be satisfied with just that small cottage, as the old song says. I'm satisfied. Because there's a mansion waiting for those of us who have been born again. It says, and whither I go, I know ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith in verse 5 unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father. That would be eternity in heaven with God the Father, but by me. Jesus says, there's no other way. Listen, folks, it's time that we get the realization to stop following all the fads and stop following all these false teachers that are coming out and saying there's this way and there's that way and you got to do this and there's a portal to heaven up here and there's a... I'm going to tell you where the portal of heaven is. It's in Jesus Christ, folks. We don't have to go looking for some special cloud or some special hole or some black hole to be able to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means even if you could get there, you can't without Jesus. If you could build some kind of crazy time machine and you think you could get yourself there, it's not possible without going through Jesus. That's why the Bible says Jesus is a divider of man. People say, well, it's not all about Jesus. I mean, Jesus was just a great man. I'm telling you what, Jesus is God in the flesh, folks, and he is the only way. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth because that's what the Bible tells us. Jesus did not say, you'll find a way if you look hard enough. You'll find a fountain of youth. You'll find a black hole. You'll find some star. You'll find some... No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you this morning. Are you willing to trust God with your future? I'm talking about your eternal future. Are you willing to trust God with your eternal future? I hope you've already made that decision. If you haven't today, please, I'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Please come. The invitation, or even after, if you're too embarrassed, come after church and I'd be glad. I will skip lunch this afternoon. I will give you my sloppy Joe to be able to talk to you and share with you that Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior and he wants to give you an eternal destination, a home in heaven. Listen, I will share that with you. I'd be glad to. I'd be happy to. I'd be thrilled to. Listen, are you willing to trust God with your future? Number two, are you willing to trust God with your fears? Listen, God said, first there be a willing mind. What's your fear? Oh, I could probably go through a plethora. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, I could go through a plethora of things that we have as fears in our lives as a family. If I had only had a dollar for every time people told me that in the last 6 months that big families just don't travel anymore, big families don't do that, they, you know, evangelism's going out. I've had evangelists tell me that they're not going to be any evangelists out anymore. Everybody's just kind of kicking evangelists out. And I've had people come to me and say, I've always wondered, guy came to me and he said, I've always wondered what happened to evangelists in our churches. Why do we not have evangelists in our churches? I honestly think a lot of the reason we don't have evangelists in our churches is churches are afraid to have them in because they don't want to have to pay them. But number two, they're also, the evangelists are afraid to go out because they're afraid they'll starve to death. God just says, if there first be a willing mind. I just want you to be willing. Just be willing to do it. Just trust me. Are we willing to trust God with our fears? Hey. There's a lot of fears. For me as a pastor, there was a fear of leaving the church behind. There was a fear of what happens to the sheep. You don't, if there's not, there's something wrong with a pastor. He's worried about his flock. He's worried about his sheep. Listen, there's other fears that we all face. I want you to consider this fear. Are you willing to trust God with your fears? The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, the story of Elijah. And I want you to see how he is fed. The Bible says in verse 8, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Hey, it wasn't the king, it was a widow woman. It says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath." And isn't it amazing who God can use? He used a widow woman who probably at times thought she wasn't really good for much. It says, "When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks." Boy, she wasn't gathering gold. She wasn't gathering money. She was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Listen to this. Are you willing to trust God with your fears? And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it." And bright future. She has a really bright future. She has a great optimistic outlook on life, doesn't she? "I'm going to go, I'm going to put these sticks, we're going to make a fire, I'm going to take the last little bit that we have, and I'm going to make up a cake, my son and I are going to eat it, and we are going to die." You think there was any fear in that, in her statement? I bet there was. I can only imagine what she must have felt, thinking that her and her son were going to die. She was a widow. She had no one to care for her. There was famine, all those kind of things going on. And so that drought that was going on, there, it was a mess. She says, "I'm just going to cook our last little bit, and my son and I are going to eat it in peace, and we're going to die." And Elijah said unto her, how many times do we hear this in the Word of God? "Fear not. Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and for thee, thy son." Elijah says, "Make me a cake first." Now, did Elijah not hear what she just said? She's going to make a cake. It was just enough for her and her son to eat, and then she was going to die. They both were going to die. And Elijah says, "No, make me a cake first." Wait a minute. I only have enough for one cake. Is that not fear? Of course it is. What? Hey, how in the world am I going to make a cake when that's all we have left? You're asking me to feed you first, and my son and I will have nothing. We'll be left with nothing. But verse 14, Elijah says this, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Whew. Elijah says, "Don't worry about it. Don't fear. God's going to take care of you." Verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." You know what? Had she been selfish and she said, "No, I'm going to make that cake for me and my son and we're going to eat it," they would have died. Elijah says, "No, trust me. Trust God. God said, make that cake for me. I want you to make that cake. If you make that cake, hey, nothing's going to fail for you. Everything's going to be okay." She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat, not one day, but many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Do we honestly have enough gall to say that God cannot take care of us today? Well, that's Old Testament. God took care of people differently in the Old Testament. And he can't take care of us the same way. He's still God, is he not? Can God not provide? It's amazing where things come from when you just trust God and how God blesses. You never expected it when you just trust God. And all of a sudden, things appear. You say, well, how in the world? You ever looked at your finances and say, how in the world did we pay all the bills last year? but they're all paid. Everything's taken care of. How's that work? God's good. Are you willing to trust God with your fears? Now, I don't know what your fears are today, and I don't want to go into those because I don't have time, but are you willing to trust God with your fears? Number three, let's look at this, Genesis chapter 22, and this goes along with the song that we sung. Here's another problem that a lot of Christians have. They're not willing to trust God with their families. Now, maybe that fear is part, maybe your fear is your, what's God going to do with my family? I've thought about this. I've got seven children. I've thought about my children over in the Congo somewhere with some, you know, cannibals. Who hasn't? I mean, it's happened. My daughter, she keeps coming to me all the time and she says, Dad, I think God's calling me to be a missionary in Africa. And I keep saying, just be quiet, daughter. Don't listen. Don't listen. I mean, Africa's too far away, first of all. And in Africa is, you know, who knows? I mean, you might not even have a cell phone reception in Africa. You know, there's disease and malaria and whatever all's in Africa. I don't know, but more importantly, there's snakes. I don't want you in Africa. You can't go to Africa. And I keep telling her, just be patient. Just be patient. Keep hoping that God's not calling her to Africa, right? Because I'm human. Right? Are we willing to trust God with our families? Well, that hits home, doesn't it? It hits right here. Are you willing to let your daughter go to Africa if that's where God's calling her to go? And a lot of people say, I'm not letting my daughter out of my sight. I ain't letting my son out of my sight. I'm not letting my daughter out of my sight. I don't want them to even move out of the within a few blocks away from me. And I understand that. I grew up in a little farming community, and pretty much my whole family is within it's more than a stone's throw, but they're all right there. And God picks me up out of there and moves me 200 miles away. And my brothers think I'm nuts. Like, you're crazy. Why would you want to leave this area? And I think I'm nuts. I'm like, I don't know why I wanted to leave that area, but God told me to go, so I went. And I'm glad I'm here. Doesn't mean I don't miss home. Doesn't mean I don't miss my family. I mean, I'm human too, right? You're sitting here saying, man, I haven't seen my son in a while, or I haven't seen my grandchildren in a while. They're over in, you know, Kentucky, or they're somewhere, you know, and I don't get to see them near as often as I'd like. Are we willing to trust God with our families? I'm willing to trust God with my family as long as I can see them every day. As long as I have a little bit of control of their life, I'm willing to let go of them. Well, you're not letting go if you want to control their life. You see, Abraham had to be willing in Genesis 22, to give his only son. At this point, it says, and it came to pass after that these things in verse 1, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Are you kidding me? Upon one of the mountains. It didn't say that. I just said that. But it says, Mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand. He's taking the stuff that is going to really destroy him in that sense, and a knife. He's carrying it himself. And they were both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? A smart kid. This wasn't even a kid that you wanted to get rid of, you know. There's some kids you just say, Why don't you just get lost, you know, kind of thing. I'm just teasing, of course. But he wasn't one of them. It's a pretty smart kid. Hey, we got everything we need, but I've seen this before. There's got to be a sacrifice somewhere. Where is it? I mean, Dad, normally we would bring a sacrifice if we was going to do something like this. So where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham knew what God told him to do. He knew. Isaac didn't. But I think he's starting to see the picture, don't you? What's going on here? There's no lamb for a sacrifice. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. You know, I started thinking about this a little bit more this week. And I'm not preaching this to make me look good in any way. This is what the Lord's laid on my heart. But I started thinking about Abraham and how Abraham was told to take Isaac, his son, and to sacrifice his son. Abraham follows that plan. I started thinking back to October and before that, when God started putting in our heart to leave, to start this evangelistic ministry. And I got to the point where I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about Isaac in the parallels and the comparison of how God started working in my life. He works in Abraham's life. Abraham takes his son, his only son, and he takes him up and is ready to sacrifice him. And God says, stop. We surrendered. God, this is what we're going to do. Wholeheartedly planning to be gone. I shouldn't be here this week. I really shouldn't. Oh, I shouldn't have, at least compared to a month ago. And God, as Abraham's getting ready to slay his son, God says, stop. I just wanted you to know. Essentially, I've provided a lamb. And at the same, very same time, it starts to make me realize that, you know what? God wants us to be willing. He wanted us to be willing. He wants us to be willing to go out full-time in evangelism if that's His will. And if I'm not willing to do that, then I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Listen to me. I'm not saying I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm telling you, if I'm not willing, then I'm not where I'm supposed to be. If God says right now, I want you to drop everything and I want you to go to Africa and be a missionary in Africa, I'm going to fight him tooth and nail, I promise you, because I know me, and I know there's snakes there. That's why I'm going to fight him tooth and nail. Not because I don't want to see people saved, it's because I don't want to fight with snakes. But I should be willing to go, don't you think? What would you say if you had a... Now, I know we don't talk about this in the pulpit, because we can't talk about anything. How would you feel today if you had a pastor that wasn't willing to serve God? He's only want to do it right here. He's not willing to go anywhere else. Maybe God's not calling him anywhere else, but he ought to be willing, and so should you. What if God's not calling you to go somewhere, but he's calling your son or your daughter to go somewhere? Well, I'm not letting go, God. Don't make me let go. And God says, I'm just asking you to let me use your son. Or your daughter. Verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. If there first be a willing, mine. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son. That's a whole lot different than what God's called me to do, and I'm grateful that he hadn't asked me to try to sacrifice one of my children at this point. But at the same time, he is asking me to let my children go and serve him eventually, you know, when they're 35 or something like that. But he says, I just want you to be willing to let them go. I want you, are we willing to trust God with our family? I've heard about a gazillion times also, I wouldn't want to raise a big family in this generation. Okay. But the last time I checked, God's still on the throne. Right? Am I right? I wouldn't want to raise a big family in this generation. Okay. That's fine. But what are you telling me? You're telling me you're not willing to trust God. What kind of a shame would this be if we get to heaven and we find out, you know, God actually chastises us in heaven because we weren't willing to have children because of the generation that we lived in? God says, I wanted you to have children and you didn't. You didn't do what I told you. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, he didn't say you had to have seven, but he said be fruitful and multiply. Well, I'm having children in this generation. Then how's the generation that we live in going to get the light if there is none? I think sometimes it would do us good, and myself included, to think about what we say. To think about what we're saying. What are you actually saying when you say, I wouldn't want to raise children in this generation? What are you actually saying? God can't protect my children in this generation? Makes you think a little bit, doesn't it? Is God able to protect my generation or my children in this wicked generation? Well, last time I checked, Jesus lived in a wicked generation. The prophets lived in a wicked generation. You say, well, yeah, but some of them were martyred, Pastor. Those are horrible examples. But was not God with them? Stephen was stoned to death. But the Bible doesn't really indicate that Stephen was in any pain, does it? It just says that he ascended up and he looked up into heaven and he saw the Son of Man. He saw God. And he fell asleep. Yeah, that's a, there you go. Thank you. My wife had to correct me and tell me what he actually says. But he fell asleep. I want to raise kids. I mean, God will provide. That might be your fear today. Maybe your fear is your family. I don't want to lose my family. Hey, God will take care of your family. Are we willing to trust God with our family? Number four, this one will be quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but because I preached about this a lot, I understand. But it's true. Luke chapter 21. Turn there quickly. I'm almost done. Give me about 10 more minutes. Five minutes, I guess, and we should be done. Luke chapter 21. We'll get to some sloppy joes here. You've seen this portion of Scripture a lot. Are we willing to trust God with our future? Are we willing to trust God with our fears? Are we willing to trust God with our families? Number four, are we willing to trust God with our finances? New pastor was going this direction. They're all F's, right? So eventually you have to get the finances, right? You have to talk about, oh, here he goes again. Are we willing to trust God with our finances? Let me just say this. And I'm telling you, the Scripture backs me up. I don't need to give you 30,000 scriptures on this, but I'm telling you, the people who faithfully give of their finances to God, God blesses them. You cannot dispute that. And you also cannot dispute the fact that people who are not faithfully giving to God are not being blessed. You can't dispute it. You can try, but you can't. I'm telling you, God blesses faithfulness with your finances. I don't understand how he does it. I don't know why he does it, but he does it, okay? And it's amazing how God blesses when somebody is willing to give of their finances back to God. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for him in the first place. And I want you to just see once again the widow with her mites. Notice the Bible says in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath, of her want, the Bible says in another portion of Scripture, is cast in all the living that she had. God is not necessarily asking every one of us here today to cast in everything that we have. He's just asking us to be faithful with what he's given us. However, I will say this, if God tells you to put it all in, you need to trust him and follow him. And he will bless you. Oh, that's crazy, Pastor. That's not going to happen. So, it's funny, we were at a revival service on Tuesday, And they took up an offering. And I don't usually carry a ton of cash, but I looked down at my wallet and I was like, well, the only thing I had was what was in my wallet. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I threw it in the offering plate. I said, I got to put something in there. So I just put it in there. But you know what? It's amazing. God always repays. God always gives back. God always gives back. Even if that would have been my last dollar, God will provide. I promise you, He's always done it. I mean, our lives and your life and other people's lives are living examples of how God blesses us when we're faithful with our finances. I'm just going to be honest with you today, and I'm not going into a deep lesson about tithing and giving and all that kind of thing, but the tithe should be the first thing you take out of your check. It should be number one. You shouldn't look, oh, I got to pay the house bill first. No, you pay your tithe first, and God will provide your house payment. I'm telling you, He never fails. You say, how do you know? I've lived it, and so have many of you. You've lived it. We've seen it in the Word of God of how God provides. Well, it just doesn't add up. I'm telling you, what doesn't add up is us not being faithful to God. He's done so much and given so much to us. Let me encourage you to be faithful to Him. That's not because this preacher wants to pat his wallet. Hey, listen, I could care less. As long as we know we're doing what God wants us to do, He is going to provide. If that means I'm going out full time, or that means I'm here and there and whatever else, God is going to provide for us. He's never let us down to this point. I don't believe He's going to let us down in the future. Because God blesses those who are faithful with their finances. When we're faithful, are you going to trust Him with your finances? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. Just trust Him. Trust Him. The widow trusted Him, and I think we would all agree here today that we would 100% agree that God provided for that widow after she gave everything that she had. God provided. I don't know exactly how He provided. I just know how God works. The law of giving and receiving. And God blesses when we give, and He continues to allow us to receive. Are you willing to trust God with your finances? And then lastly, this is going to be a quick one. I want to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I told you 5 minutes, and I'll be here about a minute or two. I just want you to see this, and we'll close with this. And be reminded once again, if there first be a willing mind, God wants us to be willing. What are you willing to do? Well, let me ask you this. What are you not willing to do for the cause of Christ today? If you're not willing to do something, I promise you, you need to be at the altar today and say, Lord, help me to be willing. Help me to be willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. It may stretch my limits, Lord, but if that's what you want me to do, I want you to see this, and we'll close with this. Are you willing to trust God with your friends? Notice this. Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Hey, if God's good enough for you and good enough for your family, isn't He good enough for your friends? Sure He is. He's far better than good. God is amazing. Are you willing to say, hey, friend, my desire for you is that you be saved? I want to give you this track that we talked about this morning. I'd like to take you through, hey, maybe, you know, once a week or once every couple weeks, we get together, and I'd like to go through this book with you. I'd like to introduce my friend to the greatest friend you could ever have. His name is Jesus. Let me be a help to you. Are you willing to say, hey, you know what my friend needs? He needs Jesus. And Paul says, it's my heart's desire that all of Israel would be saved. That's what Paul wanted. His desire was to go about preaching and sharing the gospel that people could be saved, because he had a burden for his friends and a burden for his people. Boy, I wonder sometimes we as Christians, do we really have any burden at all? Is there a burden at all for loved ones? Is there a burden at all for friends? Is there a burden at all to serve God today? Do you have a burden today to live for Him, love Him, serve Him? If there first be a willing mind, are you willing today to trust God with your future? Are you willing to trust Him with your fears? Are you willing today to trust God with your family? Are you willing to trust Him with your finances? Are you willing to trust Him with your friends? Maybe you've got a friend today that you know needs Jesus. Why don't you take a track to them? Why don't you take a Growing Grace book to them and Encourage them to dig into the Word of God themselves and find the truth, and let the truth make them free also.